before I start, I'd like to start with prayer. Lord Jesus, bless this congregation, Lord. Help me, Lord Father God, to speak in love, to speak, Lord, the word that you have given to me, Lord, that you've laid upon my heart, upon my mind. Help me to speak, Lord Father God, according to your word and your love and your mercy and your grace. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'd like to give honor to my beautiful wife. If it wasn't for her, I'd probably be going to hell. I'll be honest with you. She is what has helped me stay saved and what has stayed. Can't make me the man that I am today. So if you have any complaints, comments, give them to my wife. She may or may not throat punch you, but you know, that's a different story. I am truly blessed. I am truly blessed to be here today. And it's not by accident that I'm here. I am here because God willed it. You are here because God willed it. On the eve, actually, on the day after, or sometime after the bombing of Pearl Harbor, an admiral of the Imperial Japan said this. Admiral Yamamoto said, "I fear that we have woken a sleeping giant. Amen. I fear that all we have done is poke the bear. I fear that we have awoken a sleeping giant and filled him with a terrible resolve. A terrible resolve." And today I want to talk to you about a few things we all need to know. A few things we all need to know. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5, it says, "And Jesus entered into Capernaum, and there came unto him a centurion." Understand, a centurion is one of God's captains, one of God's generals, one of mighty men of the Roman army. A centurion. And he said, he beseeched Jesus and said, "Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." And Jesus said unto him, "I will come and heal him." Jesus grabbed him by the arm and said, "Let's go. Let's go. I will heal him." And the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." I don't know about you, but my boss, I honestly doubt, would go to Jesus and ask for my healing. If you have a boss like that, you're blessed. But I don't think my boss would do it, if I would be honest with you. But this centurion went to Jesus and says, I have a servant. I have a servant that is sick. And Jesus said, I will go heal him. But the centurion said, "For I am a man under authority, having a soldiers under me. And I say unto them, go, and they goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And my servant, and to my servant, do this, and he doth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said unto them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in all Israel." It says that Jesus marveled. Jesus marveled. We're talking about the all-knowing God manifested in the flesh. Marveled. It said that he marveled at this idea and concept that this centurion had of authority, of just speak the word. Understand this, the apostles, guess where they resided? In Jerusalem. faithful men of God were not amongst those people that could marvel Jesus the way this man marveled Jesus at the understanding of the power of authority, of the spoken word. He understood that Jesus had power to heal. He had power to heal. This centurion was in league or in legion or followed the Roman Empire, but believed in his heart that Jesus was God. Believed that he was from God, believed that he could heal his servant. And not only that, he had power to heal the body, not just at where he was, but wherever his servant was. He had that kind of power. Understand this, that the apostles who walked with him, who slept near him and ate with him and had spent time with him, when Jesus walked on water and said, "What is this?" Thinking that it was a demon, thinking that it was a spirit, that it was demonic, that it was evil. And Jesus said, "Peace, be still." And he said, "What kind of man is this? What kind of man is this?" They were with him and they did not understand the power and authority that Jesus had. But this man marveled Jesus. This man marveled Jesus. Understand that Jesus was there at the foundation of the earth. Understand that he was there at the establishing of the universes. He was there. It says that God grabbed the stars and he hung them on nothing when he spoke the word. And it says that Jesus had never seen such faith like this, that he marveled. He marveled. I don't know about you, but there's nothing that in my mind, in my God, that he doesn't know about. He's all knowing. He's omniscient. He's all powerful. He's all those things. And it says that this man marveled God. I don't know if you can wrap your head around that he marveled God by his understanding of the Word of God. And the thing is that Jesus, being God manifested in the flesh, left the heavenlies and put on a suit of flesh so he could walk on earth, because he wanted to experience what you and I experience in our hurting, in our pain, in our suffering, and what causes us to sin, what causes us to do wrong, what causes us to fall short. He wanted to experience the hurt and the pain. And he did that. It says in John 1:14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Full of grace and truth. And he says, he walked among us so he could experience what we experience. But then he died on a cross to fulfill the law that says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Romans 6 and 23. He wanted to know why. Why Adam failed. Why man fails. Wanted to know why. And so he enrobed himself in flesh. But understand this. It says that he was tempted the same way we were tempted. But he never sinned. He experienced hurt. He experienced pain. And the thing is that we marvel God as man. And the angels are wondering, why? Why? Why does God do what he do for man? What's so special about man? The angels are so intrigued over the fuss that God makes over one person that turns to him and repents. It says, heaven rejoices when you repented. Heaven threw a party and a bash because you repented. You know, I turned 40 And nobody rejoiced. I didn't rejoice as I was sitting on my couch with double ear infection, upper respiratory infection. But all of heaven rejoiced when you repented. When you asked God, I need you in my life, all of heaven rejoiced. Damon, all of heaven rejoiced when you said, God, I need you. Sophie, when you repented of your sins and asked God to forgive you, all of heaven rejoiced. And heaven did that for every single one of us. Amen. Why? Because you marvel, God. You do. I don't know about you, from time to time I feel unimportant and insignificant. And, you know, why am I even here? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Is it really worth it? And I went to Because of the Times to find out that I marvel God. I flew hundreds of miles to find out that little old me, little Mexican boy that was raised on the farm, marvel God. You and everything you went through and where you were raised and the home that you have, that you know, things weren't right, things weren't all peaches and cream. You marvel God. You marvel God. You have the capability to marvel God. In Luke 15:7, it says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents, and more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. You are loved of God. God loves us. He loves you and He loves me. He loves the hurting. He loves the lost. He loves the sinner. He loves those that have alternative lifestyles. He loves the homeless. He loves them all. It doesn't matter who you are. If you walk on the face of this earth, God loves you. Because it doesn't matter how beautiful the cities are. It doesn't matter how beautiful the cars are. It doesn't matter what great edifices we can erect in this city, in this world, in this country, in this world. That's not what's going to heaven. You know what's going to heaven? You, me, people. And that's what God built the earth for. He built the earth for just for that. So He could put you in it. He built the universe, and as great and awesome as it is, so He could put you in one planet in that universe. Joshua prayed this outlandish prayer and said, God, stop the sun. Don't allow the sun to go down so I can finish this battle. So I can finish this war that I have created, that I have made, that I have involved myself in. In Joshua chapter 10 and verse 12 and 13, it says, and then spake Joshua to the Lord and said, in the day when the Lord delivers us of the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. Thank you. Praise the Lord. And the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. The sun stood still. Have you ever had a situation where you prayed and said, God, do this, and you're like, God's looking at you like, that's not what you need? You prayed the wrong prayer. As we later find out that the sun doesn't go anywhere. The sun doesn't move. But see, God knew what Joshua needed. God knew that he needed the earth to stop rotating, to stop moving. Scientists have proven that if the earth would stop for 1 second, 1 second, the side that's facing the sun would burn and the side that's away from the sun would freeze. So in this little prayer that Joshua prayed, there's a whole lot that happened. A whole lot that took place. I don't know about you, but I've read this scripture before. And I'm like, yeah, okay. It's in Joshua. We fly through the Old Testament and we're like, got it done. Let's go. And there's so much that happens that we don't grab a hold of. We ask God, protect us. Protect us from harm. Protect us from. I thought about this as I was taking off on the plane. God, protect us. Because all of a sudden, the earth that you're so familiar with is so, so far away. The captain comes over to the speaker and says, we are cruising at 36,000 feet. And you're like, it's that far down? And semis look like micro machines and fields look like little triangles or little squares on the ground. And it's exactly how it looks in the cartoons. That's what blows my mind. Is that, oh my goodness, they are little squares. That's the fields. That's the farm. That's the city. That's, you know, whole states. And you pray these outlandish prayers, and God's holding that several hundred pound thing in the air. It's tons of scrap metal flying through the air. And you ask God, protect us, keep us safe. And all of a sudden, I feel a little bit better because somebody that I think is more spiritual than I am is on the plane. Justin Rankin was on the plane, who is, you know, youth secretary for our organization. I'm like, woohoo, God's going to take us there because he's more spiritual than I am. Surely God would hear his prayer. And I feel a little bit better. Last year, I was on the plane with Jack Cunningham. I'm like, I'm there. I'm going to Because of the Times. Because Jack Cunningham's preaching. And he's a lot more spiritual than I am. God wouldn't allow him to die on this plane. Maybe me, but not him. So I feel better about it. But at the same time, we ask God these outlandish prayers as to what exactly needs to take place. But God knows. God knows when he asked the sun to stand still. And lo and behold, God's like, it's already doing that. What else do you want? It's already standing still. It's not moving. But God knew what Joshua needed, as he knows what you need. When you pray these crazy prayers and say, God, take care of my problem, he knows exactly what you need. When you say, God, stop my heart from beating as fast as it is, God knows what needs to happen in your body. God, solve my problem, take care of my kids, do this, do that. And there's a whole chain of reaction that happens in the spirit because you ask in Jesus' name. There's men throughout the Bible, like Hezekiah, that prayed and God answered prayer. And I don't know about you, but I fear doing this to God because he might do something crazy. A word came to Hezekiah and says, hey, you're going to die. And he's like, what? No, God. I don't want to die. I don't want to die. And he says that he turned around and he prayed against the wall. And he's like, God, please have mercy on me. And he sends the prophet back and says, hey, you're going to live a couple more years. Prove it. Prove it. You show me. Show me. Bad news, doctor walks in and says, hey, you have cancer? Oh no, God, I have cancer. But God says, you're healed. And you're like, prove it. God, you need to tell me. You need to show me that it's not there. Prove it. Well, God's God. And he's like, what do you want? You want me to move the moon and the stars a little bit? And he's like, move it forward 10 degrees? Hezekiah says, no, that's easy. I want you to move it back. Move it back. And God moved it back 10 degrees. 10 degrees is equivalent to half a day. 10 degrees is half a day. What's funny is that NASA figured out all these things, and they're smart. And understand that NASA, there's no C students at NASA. They're all A-plus students. They are all these, you know, very smart people at NASA. And they all got together and they said, they were trying to build the atomic clock. This is a side note, it's not even in my notes. They're trying to figure out the atomic clock, and they got it down to somewhere in the Old Testament, and they're like, we're missing a day and a half. We're missing a day and a half. Where'd it go? And there was a Christian amongst all these brainiacs. And he's like, I know. I don't know if you're going to believe me, but I know. He's like, there is two places in the Bible where God stopped the sun not to go down for a day. And Hezekiah prayed for the sun to go back. NASA did not make a big deal about it. Not all of everybody rejoiced. Okay, let's go. They decided that it was not prudent for them to say God is right and we are wrong. Let's move on. But they accepted it, and now the atomic clock is right. Because they gained a day and a half that they couldn't account for. But man is so special that it marvels God that he's willing to turn the world upside down because he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Prayers like Elisha, asking God to consume the sacrifice. Fire coming out of heaven to consume the sacrifice to prove that God is God. Whole nations have turned around and come to God as a result of God showing himself strong. And time again, he shows himself strong because all of you, as you know, God has healed you, God has touched you, God has blessed you, God has done amazing things. You know why? Because you marvel God. Because you marvel God and you are special to God. Like I said before, He made the earth just for you. It says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. So much happened in those few words. Crazy stuff happened. Crazy stuff happened. We look at the world around us, we look at the stars, and we are blown away by how awesome it is, how wonderful it is. One of the little things that caught my eye is this thing called the Whirlpool Galaxy. And I don't know if Josiah's got a picture, but you would have to travel 186,000 miles a second for 31 million years to arrive at the Whirlpool Galaxy. Isn't that beautiful? That's what just happened. That is what just happened when it says God created the heavens and the earth. That took place. The Whirlpool Galaxy contains over 300 billion stars. Over 300 billion stars. And it is one out of billions of galaxies in the known universe. But God's marveled at you. That's awesome. But you know what? God's marveled at you. We find this things interesting and beautiful and majestic and wonderful. And God just spoke it into existence. But you, he formed and he got his hands dirty and he breathed in you life. You marvel God. God loves you. You are special. You are special. You are special to him. You are important to him. You are the reason that he created these things. They're just rocks and stones. They're just gases. They're just little things. But God's marveled at you because you're special. Because you're special. because he loves you. Moses talked with God on the mountain in Exodus chapter 19 and gave him how we need to live. The Ten Commandments are in chapter 20 of Exodus, and it tells us how to have a relationship with him and how to have a relationship with each other. That's how the law is condensed to two commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all the heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's everything. That doesn't leave any room for anything else. It's love God. And then the second is this, love one another. Love one another like you love yourself. Have you ever felt away from God? Have you heard, God, where are you? You know what you need to do? You need to go find somebody and hug them. Find somebody and hug them and say, I want to get close to God. And that's how you get close to God, by hugging someone else, by holding someone else, by shaking somebody's hand. So when Brother Terry said, shake somebody's hand beside you, tell them how handsome they are, how wonderful they are, how it is great to see them. That's getting closer to God. Because you are the apple of God's eye. You are. You are. So I tell you today, welcome home. Welcome home to the house of God. Welcome home to the body of Christ. Josh, it's great to see you, man. Michael, wonderful to see you. By the way, next week is your dad's birthday again. Again. Brett, you're going to get older, but it's okay. It's okay. It's great to have the people that we love around us. But I want to tell you, welcome home, for you are in the body of Christ. Welcome home, because this is where we ought to be on a Sunday morning, in the house of God. We are part of the body of Christ. Enough so that we marvel God and that we are special to God, that he will turn the world upside down. The world upside down, because he loves you and he loves me, and we are special to him. And that you are the body of Christ, and there is room for you. Grandma Bryant had many tasks, and one of the tasks that Grandma Bryant had, and it was one of those things that you dreaded, to get the phone call when you missed church. And don't think that anybody was exempted from that. She called everybody. She called Pastor Cox. Says, we missed you. We missed you. And I'll be honest with you, I miss that. I miss that. So if you feel a calling to convict people about missing church, talk to me and we will have a conversation later. Because I've been asked to find somebody and I'm like, God, who? So, I miss that, because when you're not here, you're missed. As we miss our pastor, you're missed. If you're not here, there's an empty chair. If you're not here, we miss you. There is one less praise going up from the house of God. There is one void here. And don't think just because, oh, nobody's going to call. God knows. God knows. And I'm not trying to convict you about wanting to, I have to be here. No, I'm telling you that you're loved, that you're special, and that you belong to Community Life Center, that you belong to the body of Christ. Today, if I could afford it and if I could do it, and I would have gotten a shirt that said Community Life Center across it and handed out to every single one of you. Why? Because you belong. You are part of the body of Christ. Not only that, you have put on Christ. In Galatians 3:27, it says, for as many of you have been baptized unto Christ, have put on Christ. Put on Christ. When you go down in the name of Jesus, you put on Christ. You put on Jesus. So no devil in hell can touch you, because you've put on Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I hate writing on myself, and when I do, I try to wash it off as fast as I can. Why? Because I don't like it. But needless to say, you can't take off this name. You can't take it off. There's no sinning enough to take it off. You belong to Jesus. It is forever placed. And it's more than just a tattoo. It's more than just skin deep. It is down deep in your soul. It's down deep in your soul. You have to understand, people have gone to other denominations. People have gone to other places in the world. People have done other things. And they're like, secretly, they are approached and says, "You're apostolic, aren't you?" People have gone to Benny Hinn healing crusades, and Benny Hinn has gone to pray for them, and they won't fall. And all of a sudden, he's like, "Are you apostolic?" "Yeah, I am. I am." Why? Because that name has been applied. That name has been applied, and there's no sin so gross. There's nothing that you can do to remove that name. There is no place that you can go that is too far. That is too far. Because David said, "If I make my bed in hell, you are there. If I go up to the mountains, you are there." And I can tell you this, if you've been baptized in Jesus' name, the name of Jesus has been applied to your life, to your heart, and you have put on Christ. You, my friend, belong to Jesus. And it's that name that changes it all. That changes it all. You belong to the Lord. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, "For my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. I will turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their lands. For we are his people, for we have his name." And the thing is, it's quite clear, is that if you will be my people, I will be your God, is mentioned over and over again. And the thing is that God says, "I will if you will." If you will repent, if you will turn to God, I will be right there. I will be your God. You belong to him. It says that he will never leave you or forsake you. For whosoever ye do in word and deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks unto God the Father by him. Colossians 3:17, we do everything in the name of Jesus. We are Pentecostal, we are apostolic, and we do everything in the name of Jesus. My mom whooped me in the name of Jesus. My mom would discipline me in the name of Jesus. You have to understand, I grabbed a hold of that scripture, said, "He who the Lord loveth, he correcteth." Praise the Lord. My mom loved me very much. More than all of my other siblings, I am here to testify to that. Because I was the first kid and I got the most amount of whippings. And there's a reason why I serve God today. Because I fear my mom. I give honor to my mom. She is wonderful. She is my heroine. I don't know if you know this, but my mom saw smoke coming out of a trailer. And she said, "What is that?" And I know there's kids in there. My mom ran into a burning trailer to save 3 kids from a fiery death. My mom is a hero. Most people would run away. She ran towards it. Why? Because somebody's babies were in there. Somebody's babies were in there. So today I tell you, my mom is cooler than your mom. And she is my heroine. She is a wonderful woman, a wonderful lady. But today I want to tell you that you belong. You belong to the house of God. You are loved. You are special. And God wants you to know that you belong in the fold. So I tell you, welcome home. Welcome home. Welcome home. In Leviticus 26 and 12, it says, "I will walk among you, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people." He's never going to leave you. It doesn't matter how bad it is. It doesn't matter how much it hurts and how lonely you may feel. I can tell you this, at the mention of his name, he is there. He is there. When your baby is sick and you don't know what to do, you don't know what to do, he is there. He is there. One of the things that was mentioned is, what do you say to the mom that lost a child? They spoke of a family that lost three kids. What do you say to the lady that lost three of her kids, daughter and two boys? What do you say to that? He said, I don't know, but God knows. I don't know, but God knows. They were talking about apostolic context. What it is to be apostolic. What it is relying on God. Relying on God to do the healing. Relying on God to do the miraculous, to do the holy, to do the amazing, the incredible. That's what apostolic content is. It's to relying on God. And see, what I want to tell you today is, what makes you able to go like sheep and among wolves is to know that right here, that you marvel God, that you're special, that you're loved, and that you belong to something that hell can't handle. And that gives you the confidence to step out and say, God, you gotta do this, because I don't know. I don't know the solution. That's apostolic context. That's being apostolic. That's in the way we need to go. I want you to see yourself like that kitten that sees himself in the mirror, and there's this lion, this ferocious lion that can take on the world. Because as apostolics, we're going, we're sheep among wolves. But the confidence that you can go and face the world is knowing that you got all of heaven behind you. Amen. That you have all the power in the world behind you. Amen. That's how we're going to take this city. That's how we're going to take these communities around us. That's how we're going to win our children to the Lord. That's how we're going to win our loved ones to the Lord. Say, God, I need you to move. It says in the church, in the underground church in China, that these two missionaries were fighting and arguing. Hey, I want to go. No, I'm going to go. No, you don't understand. I'm inadequate to go. And they were saying how bad they were, how unequipped they were for the task at hand. Why? Because that meant that God would be glorified that much more by their inadequacies. So if you think, I only know David and Goliath, honey, preach David and Goliath till they are saved. Preach the prodigal sons and daughters until they are saved. Preach what you know. Teach what you know. Whatever thing you think is insignificant, but you have a hold of it. Preach the snot out of it. Why? Because you know it. You know it. It's you. If you know that God can heal, you preach God can heal. Why? Because God can heal. That's how you know God. That's your point of contact. And that's what God can use to move. God can use that. God can use that. And that's apostolic context. So today I tell you that Jesus loves you. And that you belong. A few things we all need to know is that, one, we are loved by God. He is marveled by you. Josh, he is marveled by you. You marvel God, friend. And you are loved. You are loved. You are loved. I don't know about you, but the confidence that I have to face the world is because I am loved. The reason I can stand before you is because I know that I am loved. I am loved. One of the greatest fear in the world is not being loved. And I can tell you today, you are loved. You are loved. And you belong. For you are a child of God. You've come to Community Life Center to be healed, and you have been. But I'm asking you, do you know somebody else that needs healed? Do you know somebody else that needs healing? Do you know somebody else that could use a word from God? Share that with somebody. Share that with somebody. Because Jesus loves you. You are special. And you belong. And yesterday, as I was sitting there across the table from Pastor Cox, every word that he was saying and confirmed by Sister Cox, and says, I love them. I love them. I love them. And I can tell you this. I love you too. If you would stand with me as we let these three things resonate in our hearts and in our ears, ask you to pray with me. Ask you to pray with me. Pray for me as I pray for you. And feel the love of Jesus. Feel that you marvel God. And He loves you and you're special to Him. And here at Community Life Center, if you're a guest today, welcome home. And if you attend here regularly, I tell you, welcome home. If you have been away for some time, I tell you, welcome home. Welcome home. You've been missed. Because this is the house of God. Lord Jesus, I pray for everyone in this place. I pray that you would move upon the hearts and souls of your people. Lord, for we are called by your name. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. And if you want to feel that love all over again, these altars are open. If you want to express love to God, these altars are open. If you feel away from God, these altars are open. If you need a healing in your body, these altars are open. Lord Jesus, that you would move upon our hearts, our minds, oh Father God. Let your virtue to flow this morning, oh Father God. Heal, touch, and restore this morning, oh Father God. Hallelujah. There's nowhere that you can go away from His presence. Friend, I tell you today, welcome home. Welcome home, welcome home, welcome home. He can do the incredible. He can do the impossible. Welcome home, welcome home, welcome home.